In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Today on the first Sunday after Christmas Day, we have as our Gospel passage the prologue of John, the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John, some of the most ancient and beautiful and poetic and inspired verses of the Bible. It's often been said that some of us only have one passage taken in their life to explain Jesus Christ, to explain the Christian faith, to explain faith in general. It would be the prologue of John. We come to it today. It's about also considered an overture of the Gospel of John, and indeed of the Christian faith, foreshadowing the types and the theme of Christianity. Before I turn to the prologue as the text of the sermon, let me just say a word about the Gospel of John, because we turn to the Gospel of John, the John version of the Christmas story today. And John, in many ways, stands apart, alone from the other three Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They often refer to it as the Synoptic Gospel, because they see things as if through a similar eye. They work through a common narrative. There are differences, to be sure. And the Synoptic Gospels are the ones that give us the bare facts about Jesus. They give us that crest. They tell us about the star and the angel, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the man and the king. And it's one of our Christmas and Christmas pageants to put it all together, don't we? Say, blessed are the king. Say, blessed are the shepherds. And we have this beautiful bare fact. But John. John gives us much of the spirituality behind him. Not that they're not in text, don't have deep spirituality. But John seems to be more concerned with the cosmic meaning of Christmas. And so we turn to John's prologue. Let me say that it is a humble thing to preach upon John's prologue. Because preachers and hymn writers and poets must be very humble, because these ancient poetic and inspired verses preach themselves. Who are we to add a thing? So I ask you, I don't need to do this, but can I give you some homework? And I promise that I never get homework, I won't do myself. But sometimes, this is the seventh day of Christmas, so we've got five more days. Sometimes within these 12 days of Christmas, there's 5 days left. Could you take the bulletin home in the Bible? Find time to read, make it out loud, in essence to pray these 18 verses of John, ancient words, and allow them to do the work in your soul. Some might even choose to do an old-fashioned spiritual thing, to memorize them. Memorization is a lost art in Christianity, but how dear it is that when we memorize something, we etch it on our heart, and then the Holy Spirit comes, and what is the job of the Holy Spirit? To woo, and to reach down and take spiritual words that have been etched in our heart, and then to combine spiritual words. And so when we memorize scripture, prayers, we give copies. Something for the Holy Spirit, something for the Holy Spirit to work with. I visited a woman once in the nursing home years ago, 102 years old named Anne with the E. She wanted to call Miss Anne, her last name, she just loved being called Anne. And every time I would visit her, whether it was about the Bible, or something from the news, or something from the city, she would have a prayer, or a poem, or a scripture memorized. I said, Anne, how do you do that? She said, all my life I've done this, because it is important. You memorize. I've never thought that. I commend that. That's not the homework. Commend the motivation. These 18 verses are holy things. So I turn to them with humility today, just to offer a couple of words. As we go to the poem of John and the Gospel of John, the spirituality, the cosmic spirituality behind the Christmas story. I mentioned a part of the sermon I preached at midnight mass. And so this is what these 18 verses talk about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We speak in John's first life, not the night of Bethlehem, but the night of eternity. Before any morning star had ever shone, before the creation, there was a birth, there was a begotten of God, the Christ of God was begotten. Since the beginning of its beginning, we always felt this was another begotten. The Christ of God. The Christ of God hovered over creation, hovered over salvation history. And it just blows our minds because it's all in mystery, this doctrine of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. What is this? Well, we have to have awe and respect for mystery, because this is a part of faith. And what is mystery? That part of God that goes beyond our understanding, not anti-scientific, not anti-intellectual. It is who grew up with human thought, who grew up with human reason, who grew up with rational thought. The truth goes beyond it, because God is infinite, we are finite. So God will, there will always be mystery. But because mystery is congruent with human reason, we grow in mystery. Some of what was mystery 1,000 years ago is not mystery to us now. Some of what might be mystery to us today won't be mystery to Christians 500 years from now. But there will always be some mystery because God is finite, infinite. We are finite. And so we have a respect for mystery. So the thought of the Christ of God being begotten God, as he came to create God from God, light from light, very God and very God, the God is not able, one sentence with the Father. All of this. The second person, the Christ of God, his Word is for God, with God. And then comes the Christmas story. Here's the miracle of the Christmas story. That 2,000 years ago, the date of the calendar of time, the Christ of God, this mystery, became flesh and walked this earth, and the veil was in part of some of that mystery lifted. And we could see and touch and hear the things of God. The Christ of God begotten before the beginning of his beginning walked among us. That is the audacity of the Christian faith to believe such a thing. St. Paul said that for some people, such a thought is offensive. To others, it's laughable. But to us, it's our very salvation. And that is what the prologue of John tells us what we're all about. This Word that came flesh and dwelt among us and gave us life and life. And that is the Christmas story. And that is the Christmas miracle. And two thoughts about this miracle. We learn first and foremost in the prologue of John of the intimacy, the closeness between Christ and God. The Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is as close to God as a human breath is to a human. And Jesus iterated that closeness in the 14th chapter of John, maybe not, but he said to his disciples, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The Father and I are one. And we hear this closeness, and the miracle of Christmas is this, that Jesus says, I give this intimacy to you. For you, the children of God, you can have an intimate relationship with immortal, visible God only life. That is the miracle of the promise of Christmas. And who are we to have such intimacy? But that is the promise of Christmas. And we iterate and we symbolize that intimacy at every Mass. We not only introduce the Lord's Prayer. And now the Savior Christ has taught us we are bold to say, our Father. It's a bold thing to have the nerve to say, God is our Father. But we can because of the miracle of the Incarnation, because of the Christmas story. And so, on this almost new year, perhaps if we make our New Year's resolution, I have to suggest that some of our resolutions might be regarding this intimacy with God. What can we do to take this friendship and this relationship and cherish it and treasure it and protect it and nourish it and grow it? If you have a dear friendship with a human being or a spouse or family member that's actually functional, that's good and positive, they don't come every day, do they? So we protect them, we treasure them, we nourish them, the same with God. What can we do in our resolution? To take the 2 decades of life that we're given and say, I want to nourish this amazing gift of intimacy with God, to give it to me by the Christmas story. So maybe a recommitment to the regular attendance at Mass and the Holy Communion where we have promised the presence of Christ, to talk with God in prayer and more deliberately every day, to commit ourselves to the community of the church, because religion is not a private. It's very personal, but not private. It takes a village, does it not? The church to grow. Perhaps a commitment, a tangible, emotional connection to say, Lord, every day let my hands and feet be your hands and feet in this black hole of need in this world. And in whatever meager ways I can, we serve that the needs and the hurt and the hunger that I see. Blessed be the miracle of Christmas according to John's gospel. And may we love, memorize, and adore, and digest and love the 18 verses, the prologue of John.